In terms of who I am, I'm a person at this point that tries to express gratitude for every day, being able to communicate the way I can now. I just try to be thankful for that and really focus on the here and now and not what tomorrow is.
Welcome, you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans to Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins. Hope Still Wins is a place where we get to know thought leaders from diverse backgrounds and differing worldviews to help us feel less alone, more connected, and move us to become a better world together. Ultimately, answering the question, does Hope Still Win? If so, why? If not, why not? And right now, we are in the middle of a series where I have the honor of interviewing incredible humans to see how hope has played a role in their story when life takes an unexpected turn. We can call it healing. We can call it a pivot point. And today, we'll call it a line in the sand. From life-altering diagnosis and adversity to loss of a loved one, bankruptcy, and beyond, we're going to cover it all. Now, today's episode is very personal to me. Today, I have the honor of interviewing one of my very best friends, Brandon Conley, and his wife, Sam. Brandon was recently, if you've watched on Instagram, my Instagram, or others, he was recently diagnosed with ALS. This is obviously a shock to all of us as friends, but definitely to him and Sam. So today, we're going to dive into their story, how they're doing, what does it mean to have a life-altering diagnosis, and what does life look like for them as a couple and for them as individuals from here on out. Well, hey, let's jump into it. These two are fantastic people, and I love them dearly. So on this episode of Hope Still Wins, here's my conversation with some of my very best friends, Brandon and Samantha Conley. All right, Brandon and Sam, two of the people I love the most in the world. Thank you for joining Hope Still Wins.
For having us.
Excited to be here.
We've been planning this for a while, prepping for this. You know, there's a lot of hopes with this episode. You know, as I mentioned before, we're doing the series on healing. We really designed it around you two. Like, when we were planning out this year, one of the hopes was to have you on the podcast for a couple of reasons. One, to hear your story. Because a lot of people listening are going to have similar stories in their life as a young married couple or as a single human. And then also advocacy, raising awareness, talking about where people can not only donate their time, but donate their interest and resources to ALS. And so I just kind of ruined what this whole thing is about. But Brandon, just to give a little background here, Brandon has been my best friend for, I don't know how many years now. 6 years?
Longer.
Longer? Well, it seems like it's
probably eight around there.
8 years. Sam and Brandon just got married a few months ago. But Brandon, as of, and we'll talk more about this, but a few months ago was diagnosed with ALS. And so today we're here to talk about it. So I want to start out asking you guys the question. I'm going to throw a couple questions to both of you. Answer it together, one of you can. But if you can just explain, kind of where you're at, how this started, and then, kind of your background as a couple.
So around May of 2020, I started to not feel right. And it would pertain to my speech. So essentially I would, you know, have a beer or two and just feel like I was to the moon. I could not talk. Obviously, COVID hit during that time. So I was chalking it up to stress from work or COVID, you know, all the different factors in life that were happening. So I kind of blew it off. Went through maybe 6 more months. And then started to have issues with my speech without any alcohol, just everyday life. My background is in sales. and also public speaking. So I was very in tune with, you know, my speech, what it sounds like, how words would come out. And so at that point, I started to seek medical opinions. Was originally diagnosed with Lyme disease and other infections from a tick bite, and was treated for that. When I was not getting better, my doctor suggested I see a neurologist. And then around July of 2021, I was officially diagnosed with bulbar onset ALS.
You know, it's weird for me to ask these questions because I've been around for it, but for the people that are unfamiliar with it, what is it like? Because you two were together at this time, what is it like to get that diagnosis or to have life pivot in one moment?
It's almost unexplainable. For people who are unaware, the average lifespan for an ALS patient is 2 to 5 years from diagnosis. There is no cure, really no effective treatment currently. And so when you get it, it's almost, I don't know how to put it in words. It's surreal in a way that you almost don't accept it or want to believe it. But it obviously changes everything.
You know, Sam, for you, you met Brandon when he was fully healthy. You fell in love with Brandon. You're still in love with Brandon.
Yeah.
But what's it, walk us through the emotions as a partner, seeing this progression and then also receiving, you know, the diagnosis and knowing kind of now this is a whole new chapter in our lives.
I think that for me, still processing the diagnosis, definitely felt that line in the sand moment when Brandon was doing all the tests and they were narrowing it down to either a tumor, cancer, or ALS. And we were praying for something like cancer, which sounds crazy, but cancer has treatment, cancer has funding. You know, it was just, we couldn't wrap our minds around a diagnosis that said there's a 5-year life expectancy and there's no treatment, there's no cure. So definitely, I think we're both still processing it. I think there's a level that we're a little bit in denial of what we've been told. And then I think that also brings the whole HOPAP aspect into Brandon's diagnosis and us as a couple. But yeah, I mean, I can't explain it. I've been through some traumatic things in my past, but I've never been through something like this. And Brandon is the love of my life. So for anyone to say, you know, that he could be suffering or in pain, for me to see him in pain for so long it's definitely the hardest thing I've ever been through. But
and to put parameters around it, the way that they diagnose ALS is a process of elimination. So they essentially rule out any disease, cancer, other neuro diseases, and they rule all those out. And when those all come back negative, you're left with, it has to be ALS. So the diagnostic process in itself is exhausting.
And a lot of that speaks to, you know, why we're doing this, because there isn't a lot of funding. There isn't a lot of advocacy. We'll talk about later on the momentum behind ALS right now and how some great organizations are out there pushing for research and funding to happen. But, you know, we're still, if we're looking at this in a vacuum, we're still in a time period right now as we speak, the ALS is not being researched at any level compared to other diseases that are have a terminal diagnosis. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing this, and we'll continue to do this here over the next few years. Sam, you just mentioned, and I know a lot of this is personal to you, but you mentioned that your life has had trauma in it. And one of the things that when we've spoken to guests so far about healing, and when we've spoken to people on Hope Still Wins, who all have a story, that one of the common things that continue to come up is through trauma and through life experiences, wisdom happens. Maturity happens. There's a different switch and an outlook on life. So for you, I don't know if there's a moment that you can be well prepared for something like this, but I couldn't, as a friend, picture a better partner to Brandon during this moment. So if you don't mind speaking in as much detail as you feel necessary, but mostly speaking on what you've experienced in your life and the wisdom you've gained through trauma and through pain, and where that's brought you today as you deal and as you sit next to Brandon.
That's a loaded question. I'll do my best. let's see. My dad passed away 5 years ago from a heart attack. So it was unexpected. And that was certainly a line in the sand moment. Totally changes who you were before and after that event. And then 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, my stepdad passed away from cancer. And he passed away exactly 1 year from the date that he was diagnosed. So two totally different scenarios, but still both very traumatic in their own way. I will say though, that those life experiences, as much as I would do anything to have both of them back here, of course, have taught me more about myself and how to help others than any other life experience I've ever been through. It was hard, but it does build resilience. I think that it builds a level of compassion where you can like really relate to other people and get on their level and really meet them where they're at in a different way because you've had to go through that whole grieving process and you have to learn so much. You have to learn how to be really introspective and know what you need. So I think that in a way, I'm grateful that I've had some learning experiences in the past that have been able to help me help Brandon, because this is about him and I want to be a rock for him. And I also realize that everyone grieves differently. Even with a diagnosis like this, like you're grieving a life that you once had. And it's beneficial for me to be able to recognize that it's not a black and white scenario at all. It's gray. And I can meet Brandon where he's at and say, hey, like, where are you? How are you doing? And I can also check in with myself and see how I'm doing and know how I have to take a step back and slow down to be there for Brandon.
One of the things that is used to describe Sam is that she might be one of the only people I know. Jessica's pretty close, but I am not anywhere close to this. Sam really likes people a lot, no matter who they are and where and what they say and what they do. She's really good at loving. And I just wonder, Sam, is that coming from a place of compassion and just understanding for you? Do you feel like that's always been you, or do you feel like your desire to love people really well, no matter how annoying they are, comes from these life experiences?
That's always been me, to be honest. I wanted to get into social work and therapy long before my dad passed away. That's what I majored in undergrad, and all my internships were like in homeless shelters. I love people. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there, Ben. I love people and I love hearing their stories. And I think part of the reason that I've been able to to try and help Brandon as much as I can, as I realize that bad things can happen to literally anyone, and that we're all just dealt a certain hand in life. And some people are dealt a really bad hand. And I just always felt like I was needed to help out with some of the other people that may have had a worse hand and get us all kind of at least on the same playing field. So I'm not one to get like angry at Brandon's diagnosis or the things that happened to me in the past, but have just always seen it as a randomness. Life isn't supposed to be fair. And we just have to do our best with what we have and help others along the way, because that's in our control. And I guess, yeah. So to answer your question, I think I've always been that way.
The randomness. It's interesting, because it does feel very random to me as I sit and watch. And that brings me to my next question. Sam, you had just said something that, you know, grief is complex, because, you know, you're just always, all of us can grieve a life lost. If that's a change in job, if that's a broken relationship, we can grieve those things. And you mentioned, you know, Brandon's life before, and Brandon before ALS was incredibly energetic, even though he's getting older. Always the life of the party. Very talkative. And that's, you know, those things have, as you mentioned, Brandon, have been swept away from you and for right now. And my hope is for right now, right? What is, Brandon, for you, as you sit in this, how frustrating is it? Or what are the emotions around that?
Yeah, it's incredibly, frustrating to, like, my identity in life was being outgoing, being inquisitive and conversational. You know, I really enjoyed conversation, enjoyed speaking, I enjoyed communication. I just had an interest in it my whole life. And so, having a disease that takes that away from you is really hard. It definitely makes you incredibly introspective, and in some ways changes who you are. It, not entirely. You know, I'm still the same person, but my perspective has changed drastically through it.
In what way?
I would say having to process or look at what life looks like now and where I fit, and stripping my identity away a little bit and I don't want to say recreating, but maybe understanding who I am and where I can still benefit others has changed a lot.
I'll ask it now, actually. We've dove into ALS, and we've dove into your story, and we're going to start bringing it back up now. Into some of the things that people can rally around. But before I do, there's a question that I had that you just brought up, Brandon, before we started. And I'm going to ask you both it to answer individually if you can. But in the current place in your life, who are you? Is the question I want to ask you, too, because I knew, you know, Brandon, you know, a lot of this has changed for you. Your identity has been taken away from the outward appearance of, you know, being able to do sales and speak. So as you've processed inward, and if I asked you the question, who are you? How would you guys answer that?
Go ahead.
That is a great question. I like to think myself as a giver, a helper. I'm still learning. I'm human, and I feel all the hard emotions that I know everyone else does every day. And it's hard to see I love one going through this, but just trying to be there in whatever way that I can to make his life easier, to make everyone else's lives easier in my life. I just want to be there for them, and I want to make them feel good, and I want to make them feel loved and appreciated, make them feel special.
Brandon?
I would say the biggest thing that has changed is prior to AOS, I lived a very future looking life. So it was very performance driven, whether it was getting promotions, a vacation, where I'd like to be in 5 years, 10 years, what I'd like to have or do. Life was heavily predicated around that. ALS, with the uncertainty of how fast it will progress, how many years I have left, has really changed into more of a present focused life where I really take it day by day. So I don't look at plans as much or try to look forward to plans. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you still look at those things and look forward to them, but I really take it day by day. So in terms of who I am, I'm a person at this point that tries to express gratitude for every day, being able to communicate the way I can now. I just try to be thankful for that and really focus on the here and now and not what tomorrow is.
Do you wish that was your perspective before the diagnosis? Do you see that being a beneficial way to see the world, to see your life? Not that you're regretful for the future looking, but you know, we've been told our whole lives, be in the present. It's impossible to do sometimes until maybe there's that pivot point, that line in the sand, as Sam talked about. Are you grateful for this new perspective?
Oh yeah. The reason behind and the why behind it, I'm not, grateful for or excited about, but the stress and pressure of whether it was finances or future vocation or what life looked like, all those things I would stress about and think about, not having that pressure now is freeing, big time freeing. Now, again, the reason behind it is not, and it's very painful, but I can't be super upset at the perspective it's given.
I don't want to be futuristic here either, but one of the things that we believe is you're going to be healed, that you're going to be one of those stories that can advocate and talk about this for many, many, many years. Do you think this perspective will stay with you, once that healing is done?
And it is a great question. I have thought many times about if I were to be healed or make a recovery, what would life look like? And it's hard. There would be a enormous amount of counseling I would go through to process it. And I'm not sure, in my mind, I would like to think that things would be a lot different. And I think they would, but I also know, and I've seen a lot of people go through trauma and it doesn't change them. Some people it does, others they kind of truck through, grieve and keep on going, right? I would like to think it would be vastly different. My heart for terminally ill people or people with chronic disability, the way that I viewed that before and now is could not be any more opposite. And it has changed drastically. The empathy, care, interest, all that, that would carry on forever.
We have a new partner I'm excited to tell you about. It's a product I use every day. I started taking Athletic Greens because I needed to get some added nutrients into my system, into my diet. I want to feel good. And well, Athletic Greens was the answer. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing, listen to this, 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day off right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things, really. When I'm home, I take one scoop in the morning with water before my workout, and it's the perfect boost of energy. And even when I'm traveling and I may not be able to get my workout in until later in the day, and maybe my diet's a little off, it's the fuel I need to start my day, and it gives me confidence that I can continue my healthy lifestyle whenever I'm traveling this year. Again, it's a game changer. If you're not convinced yet, here are a few more reasons why I love Athletic Greens. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while tasting so good. And last but not least, it costs less than $3 per day. I don't know what supplements you're taking, but I can guess that $3 per day has to be cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. All right, are you convinced now? I bet so. Good, because right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. Just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/HSW. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/HSW to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. We interviewed Susie Batiz, who is the founder of Poopery. And she talks about pain. She's been through a lot of it. She talks about the ability to lean into it and learn within it and then come back out of it. And that when you lean into it, there is a changing that's done, a changing that does bring on empathy. And so for you, as you're in the midst of this pain, it's interesting that you bring up that your empathy and your compassion, and you know, I know your generosity has increased. It's interesting to look into that. Well, and one of the reasons I said we believe Brandon's going to be healed is because we do, but also because a few weeks ago, we took a trip to Boston to see one of, if not, I believe she is, the leading ALS doctor in the world. We had the great opportunity to go out there. And there are stories of recovery, and there are stories of healing. And there's a common denominator in those stories. It doesn't necessarily mean the right medicine or the right treatment. And I'm sure you remember this, Brandon, but the thing that she told us was that there was a hope, that there was a belief, that there was a positive spirit to how you live life and to the belief that things were going to get better. I'm sure you've read into that and looked into that, but do you mind both of you maybe speaking to that for just a little bit?
Yeah, so there is a doctor in North Carolina who has identified 50-ish people who were diagnosed with ALS and that had what they call a reversal. So their symptoms either resolved entirely or to a certain point, and they have been that way for the foreseeable future. There is no medical explanation. There is theories To your point, the common denominator in those people is they reduce stress. They were incredibly positive and overall were living very healthily. So I think that encompasses physical, diet, mental, for me, spiritual. I think they looked at things differently and not as a death wish, but a opportunity. And so we've taken on that same mentality, and that we believe that if God chooses, he can heal us or heal me. But I say us because we're in it together. We understand he doesn't always. And so we're not putting that hope with a firm expectation that would create disappointment if it didn't, but we are positively pursuing that hope.
I found that interesting. And you know, there's a lot of cases around the world of terminal illness. You know, you can go into cancer research and people that have a positive outlook, a positive hope, reduce stress, stay in the moment, that your body does something magical. And also when you listen to God and listen for God's voice and cry out, something amazing oftentimes happens. The advocacy and research, though, has changed since your initial diagnosis over a year ago. So what organizations out there? So I want to start by asking, how can people help the two of you? And then I want to talk about some of the organizations out there that are making great strides for ALS. So how can people help the two of you?
People have been so helpful already.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We've been so blown away with the tremendous amount of support people have given us. Strangers just reaching out and saying, hey, like, I heard your story and we're praying for you. We're thinking about you. And family and friends just coming out of the woodwork from Maryland, Indiana to Colorado, just trying to help. And honestly, I think that's what's been helping us to keep going. And that's why me and Brandon also want to give back to the ALS community, because there are so many people who may not have a huge network or community, and they lose their voice or they pass away and their story is never told. And so we are really, really trying to figure out right now how we can give back to those families and help them feel the support that we've felt through this whole journey since day one, even when it was Lyme disease. I mean, so many of you, including you, Ben, were so supportive and reaching out and trying to help us in any way that they can. And that it's just amazing. It's a miracle. Every person that's come and just shot us a text or a phone call or just an Instagram message, we see all of them. And it is literally what's been keeping us going every day.
Yeah. And to add on that, we do have a GoFundMe. Mm-hmm. So my treatment currently is heavily predicated on supplements and natural medicine. So it runs about $1,500 a month. And then future, you know, focus, which I know we're trying to stay in the present and we pray it never gets there. But for late stage ALS patients, the cost is around $100,000 a year. And so we're attempting to fundraise. Currently, my employer has been amazing. Mm-hmm. I could not be more thankful for them. I've been able to be employed through this and am currently. If I were to lose my ability to talk entirely, I'm not sure if I could maintain employment. And so a lot of the fundraising for us is going towards, you know, looking at making sure we're okay and that I can afford treatment currently. to your question about organizations.
Well, real quick, let me pause you there because we'll put it in the show notes too, but how can people find your GoFundMe?
We have a GoFundMe page. So we have friends out in Baltimore who put together the Conley's Cause fundraiser, which is amazing. And we have GoFundMe pages in each of our bios on Instagram. And there's also a Facebook page with all the information regarding the fundraiser date and all the different sports teams that are going to be there and vendors. And it's going to be a really great time. But the Conley's Cause was started by our good friend who just wanted to help us out and realized that we just got married. We just bought a house together. And then Brandon had the diagnosis and we both were terrified that we were going to lose everything. And an ALS treatment is extremely expensive and just keeping up with quality of life. And so the different organizations that we worked with were very adamant about us fundraising because everything is out of pocket. And if it depends on a nice, comfortable wheelchair versus one that's maybe covered by insurance that is not comfortable, we want to be able to provide Brandon, if needed, the very best care and the best equipment. There's also other things that go along, like for a wheelchair, we would need to remodel a home and all the caretaking that comes along with that, home health. So we just want to make sure that we're fully prepared.
Definitely. Yeah. Conley's Cause. We'll put in the show notes. It's a great way to support Brandon and Sam. So now we're going to talk about some of the organizations in the last few minutes we have here that have done some great strides. Within this, if the two of you can talk about what just happened, the law that was passed, some of the organizations that you are really entrusting with your health moving forward. And then also, I know, and I'll remind you of these, but also, Brandon, you've explained it to me better than I could ever explain it to anybody listening, but why ALS has not had the advocacy and momentum behind it as other diseases, mostly speaking about the short lifespan and that these stories aren't being told and that people, you know, lose a loved one and move on. If you could speak to that too, on kind of the issues with advocating for ALS up to this moment. So organizations, the law that was passed, and the issue so far with advocacy.
I am ALS. It's IAMALS.org is currently one of our favorite organizations because they have really spearheaded all of the advocacy around political change, including the Act for ALS Bill, which I don't think would have passed without the IAMALS.org organization.
Correct.
So that right now has been one of our favorites and that we've met with many people from IAMALS and gone over what they're doing to also spearhead more research funding. But they, like I said, have been the reason behind the Act for ALS bill. So we are extremely grateful to them and everybody who supported that bill. And then the Act for ALS bill was an expanded access bill to give ALS patients access to drugs that have been stuck in clinical trials. Cancer patients have right to try, but for some reason, ALS patients have not had the right to try. And so IAMALS organization was spearheading that, like I said, to really give people with ALS a voice and a right to try the drugs that have been proven to work, even if they're not totally up to FDA standards on success rates. But if there's even like a 10 or 20% chance, if Brandon wants to take that drug, the Act for ALS bill gives him the right to try it out. And he can also keep all the other supplements and medications that he's on without having to be in a clinical trial. And clinical trials, you can't be on any other medication. And then you have a 50% chance of receiving a placebo. And you're basically like a sacrificial lamb. So the Act for ALS bill has been a game changer for the ALS community.
I would add a ALS TDI. Mm. So they are a nonprofit solely focused on research and have done a ton for the ALS community. So those two are really the ones we have looked at and met with.
You went to the ALS TDI lab with Ben in Boston.
Yeah.
Which was really cool, right?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Boston for me gave me a lot of hope as a friend, because there's a lot of really talented people rallying around this disease right now. And the momentum by this law getting passed feels like, at some level, the perfect storm for something really great to happen in within healthcare and within medicine for ALS. And that's why, another reason why we're very hopeful.
Yeah, there have been two drugs developed that actually passed FDA approval in the last 20 years. That is it. Two decades. And now you've got 70, 80 drugs in trial. So inevitably, a few of those will hit. So ALS is really at an inflection point in terms of treatment. They are that close to finding effective treatment to make it a livable disease, and then hopefully a cure someday. But it is really close. Kind of parlaying that into your third question is, there is around 5,000 to 6,000 people diagnosed with ALS every year. And at the same rate that someone is diagnosed, somebody dies. And so it kills so quickly. There is not a ton of awareness. And going along with that, you take people that were oftentimes healthy, active, outgoing, and then you put a disease that strips all that from them, whether it's speech, their ability to walk and move. It affects people differently at different rates. There's a certain level of almost embarrassment. I don't know if that's the right word, maybe insecurity. For me to even go through a drive-thru or go to a gas station and get a water, speaking is, you know, people look at you differently. And so that insecurity makes you want to stay inside and not see anyone. And so oftentimes ALS patients are in such bad shape, getting out in public for them is exhausting and drives so many insecurities that they choose not to. And so part of what we're trying to do is be open and honest and say, this is what this looks like, and here is the progression, you know, please support research.
Hey, Hope Still Wins listeners. On every episode, you hear us share about various sponsors who partner with us to support this show. We strive to collaborate with awesome products and services that you will love. We don't want to waste your time listening to ads that aren't useful, helpful, or impactful. So we are asking for your help. We've created a 5-minute survey for you to fill out that will give us information to make sure your ads serve you well. And this is fun. One listener will win a $250 gift card from That Sounds Fun Network when they complete the survey. Simply visit thatsoundsfunnetwork.com now to enter. Winner will be announced Friday, February 11th, over at That Sounds Fun Network's Instagram. Follow at TSF Network. You can go and, if you're listening, and follow I Am ALS on Instagram to stay up with all the latest things happening within ALS. And you can follow Sam and Brandon, and they're great advocates. But I've been following I Am ALS to get the news and the updates and the research and to know what I can invest my time into. And the more people that take an interest, even if you haven't been affected, the faster I believe this will move forward, so that something incredible can break through. Two final questions for you two. Obviously, as I mentioned at the beginning, this series is on healing. There's many people listening. I believe most people that are going to walk through this life and take this journey are going to know or be affected by somebody with a terminal illness, or have, if they don't have that happen, then they're going to have some point in their life where there is that line in the sand. There is that pivot point where everything changes somehow, some way. Answer this individually if you don't mind, but what would be your message to those people, to anybody listening? And maybe this message is even for yourself. And we can start with Sam.
I think my message would be to keep going, but also listen to yourself, listen to your body, give yourself the self-care that you need to process. I don't think our society allows for processing of these really tough life events that are inevitable. So to give yourself that space to process it and to look for the silver linings. I don't know why that's been a motto for us since this all started. Just looking for the silver linings, the little miracles every single day. Even if it's just that, you know, Brandon felt really good today, and or we were able to go out and go for a nice hike together or a nice walk together. And just keep finding those and helping others find them too. Because once you get yourself off of your own problem, I feel like that's when there's a lot of healing that happens. And that actually comes from a professor that I had who said she didn't prescribe medication. She told her clients to go help someone for a day. And that like stuck with me. Granted, medication, everything is a whole nother topic. And if you need it, you need it. But I thought that that was such, I mean, that was my freshman year of college. I still remember that. And I think that that's been really helpful, is just getting my mind off of myself. Once I'm in a healthy place and making sure that I'm helping others.
Yeah, I would say, don't give up, and you're not alone. Whatever you're going through from a medical perspective is probably not unique in that someone else is going through it. Speaking personally, we've connected with two couples in California who are around our age, going through ALS, one couple with a newborn, and we connected with a couple in Australia. The boyfriend just got diagnosed at 32, I think, with bulbar onset. And in some ways, I don't want to say it's comforting, but it's reassuring when you connect with those people and you're able to share commonality and they get it. You know, something like ALS, unless you're going through it every day, it's really hard to understand. So having that support system, reach out, you know, including this, if somebody listens and they're around our age or even a little older, we'd love to connect and just be positive, you know. Let's look at what could be in terms of hope and focus on that. And I mean, I cried my eyes out on the call with the one couple from California. And, you know, he said ALS for, I think, close to 3 years, and he was like, I get it, man. Don't be ashamed. I totally get it. And something about that is freeing. So don't give up. You're not alone. And reach out, you know. Don't be too prideful to ask for help.
Well, I know it means a lot to me and a lot to anybody listening that you guys did this. I really appreciate it. You know, this is a big deal. And I'm really hopeful and excited. And just also, I'm excited in a weird way for the ALS community that you two are involved within it. I believe that you two are going to be difference makers and game changers now. in this. I don't like that this is happening, but since it is happening, I believe in my life, there's not two better people to carve a path forward for so many people that will deal with this in the future and are currently. Final question, we ask everybody this. You guys can answer it together, you can answer it alone, however you want to do it. Sam and Brandon, do you believe that hope still wins? If so, why? And if not, why not?
Yes, I do. So hope for me is two parts. And the one is hope in eternity, being a believer. Yeah, my hope is in life after here. I don't believe earth is my home. And so I believe hope wins no matter what, end of game, right? The second part is hope is the antidote to fear. And getting a diagnosis of ALS is incredibly fearful. And so hope is the one thing I hold on to from an eternal perspective and also a day-to-day and belief that God can perform a miracle. And so those two caused me to believe that hope wins always.
Sam, anything to add?
I agree. I say hope still wins for us. It's what's been getting us through this whole process. And just reminding us that God's promises are true. It reminds us of one of my favorite Bible verses is James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above. And I feel like that gives us hope. And every time we have one of those little silver linings or miracle moments, it just fills up with us with so much more hope to keep going. So yes, hope still wins, at least in this household.
It's beautiful. Well, Brandon, Sam, thank you for joining Hope Still Wins. We appreciate it.
Hey, love you, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Hope Still Wins. And if you haven't already, please subscribe or follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoyed this conversation, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple and join the community over on Instagram at Hope Still Wins. All right, that's it for today. As a reminder, please, please go and check out I Am ALS on Instagram. Also, feel free to follow Sam and Brandon on Instagram. They update us all on the ALS news very, very often. Finally, they do have a GoFundMe page. So if you feel like it is something you can do to benefit them as a couple, you can go find that. It's Conley's Cause. Thank you again for listening to today's episode of Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins. And you know what? I look forward to talking to you next week.